Nothing like some good hymn singing to warm our hearts up. We truly have been blessed in so many wonderful ways. And it is enough that Jesus died for me. He did it all. And in Him we trust. My tendency is to want to go through a book of God's Word, go verse by verse to get the complete thoughts. But the Lord laid on my heart a couple months ago to do a topical study, and perhaps after this we get back into a certain book as the Spirit leads. We have the wonderful privilege of being able to know the truth. Not because of what we think, not because of what we've been told, but because of what God has said in His Word that has been true throughout the centuries, in fact, from the very beginning of time. And I really appreciate Ben when he prayed. We need God's guidance. We need His help. We need His strength every day. But I need His strength even now to speak. So let's just look to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we want to pause once again to say thank You for all that You've done for us. We thank You for all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, the blessedness of knowing that our sins are forgiven because of what He did on the cross of Calvary. We thank You for the relationship that we can have with You, the peace that we have in our hearts, because we have been at peace with You when we surrendered our life to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledged that we were unworthy, that we were sinners, condemned, unclean. We thank You for the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that has saved us and keeps us and guides us and strengthens us throughout our day-to-day lives. We thank You that You have blessed us with Your words so we can know the truth. And we thank You for the freedom in this country to be able to gather together openly and to share praises unto Your name and to listen to Your Holy Spirit speak to us through Your Word. So we seek Your blessing and Your guidance and help us, Father, to focus on Your Word and to allow Your Holy Spirit to teach us and to change our lives to become more and more like the Lord Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. There's been a lot of difficulties. I've titled the message, this will be a series of messages too, on counting difficulties a blessing. It's not very easy to do. In fact, it's very difficult at times. But if we had a choice, we would want to avoid difficulties at any cost. We like things to go smoothly and under control. We look at interference or interruptions in our lives as a negative thing, as something that is hurtful and not helpful. And we want to begin by looking in Genesis chapter 1. So if you want to turn there, many times I ask the Lord, why do things happen the way they do? Not questioning why they're happening, but how do they come into being? Why are we suffering these things? And so there's three thoughts that I have before us this morning. And the first one is the origin of difficulty. Where did difficulty begin? And of course we know from Genesis chapter 1. It starts in the very beginning of time. If you look at the very last verse of chapter 1, verse 31, when God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it, in verse 31 it says, "Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good." It was very good. That word simply means to be beautiful and to be perfect. It's the best that it could possibly have been. And we know that Adam and Eve had a very blessed time together, enjoying God's wonderful creation. They had no difficulties at all. But God had given mankind the freedom to choose. And he wanted them to love him. They wanted him to live for him out of a sense of appreciation for what he's done, and by choice. And so in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord gives just one restriction to Adam and Eve. In verse 16 it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." So just one simple commandment. You're free to do whatever you want, except for this one thing. So that Adam and Eve could choose to live for God and to honor him with their lives, because they wanted to. Unfortunately, we know that they failed the test. And every one of us, if we would be honest, we would say we would have failed the test as well. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "So when the woman saw the tree, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." For the very first time, they were ashamed. They knew they had disobeyed their God. And then down in verse 10, it says, "So he said," this is Adam speaking to the Lord, he says, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." So the first time, Adam felt afraid. He had never felt fear before. And then in verse 16, we see another consequence of their sin. "To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desires will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you should not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." So we see that they were afflicted. The three consequences of sin: it causes a person to be ashamed, causes a person to be afraid, and it causes a person to be afflicted. Many, if not all of you, know that my dad is very, very ill. This past week, the doctor says he has a week to live. And yet we know his life is in the Lord's hands. He has been very, very nervous. Very much afraid. Because he doesn't have peace in his heart. Because he hasn't made peace with God. Every time I've sought to share the gospel with him, he would tell me, "I'm a good person. I'm religious. I'm on the worship committee." And he's trusting in the good deeds that he's done to cancel out the bad. Adam and Eve had done many, many good things, but it couldn't cancel out the one bad thing they had done. They had to suffer the consequences to that. And of course, we read that the consequence was that they will die. They started to physically die. But immediately they had died spiritually. There was a separation between them and God. And that's true of every human being that's ever been born. And we see that because of this original sin, the earth was cursed. man would have to work by the sweat of his brow. There's difficulties that we face. And every generation has faced those difficulties. It is not easy, but God gives grace. But one thing we need to realize is that every difficulty that a person faces isn't necessarily the result of a specific sin they committed. Sometimes it is. I work with a lady whose son is very free morally, and he received AIDS through his sexual immorality. There's consequences to sin. There's difficulties that we face because of sin. But that is not always the case. And we should never point a finger at someone and say, he's going through a difficulty because he sinned against God. We see that demonstrated in the life of Job. And we won't take the time to look at Job this morning. But Job was a righteous man who wanted to honor God with his life. But Satan went before God and says, the only reason Job obeys you and honors you is because you protected him. So God allowed Satan to inflict difficulty upon Job. And even in the midst of all that difficulty, Job passed the test. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord God, my God. And so sometimes difficulties come, not because of any sin that person's committed, but because they're under a test. And sometimes God will test us to see our faith and our commitment to him. I like that one song we were singing about being so sweet to trust in Jesus. In the third stanza, it says, joy or sorrow, we will follow the Lord. No matter what, he is our Lord, our Master, and we will obey him. We also need to realize that difficulty is to be expected. So we look at the origin, now we're going to look at the expectation of difficulty. First of all, in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6 is a very, very blessed chapter. One of my favorite chapters in the Gospels. But in Matthew chapter 6, again at the end of the chapter, we read verse 33 and verse 34. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In New American Standard, it says, take no thought for tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's the thrust of what the Lord Jesus was telling the disciples. Difficulties are to be expected. Life is not easy. It can be very hard at times. The whole context of chapter 6 in Matthew is the focus between loving God and loving money. And God promises that he will take care of our every need. We simply need to trust him and to put him first in our lives. And then the general attitude towards a difficult situation is frustration, sometimes discouragement. That's not the attitudes that God wants us to have. In fact, in the area of difficulties, there's two attitudes that the Lord wants every Christian to have. The first one we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You don't have to turn there. It's a very short verse, verse 18. It says, in all things, be thankful. In every situation of life, we are to be thankful. And like I said, we've seen that in the life of Job. When he went through all those difficulties, he blessed the name of the Lord. And his difficulties are much severer than what I've ever gone through. He lost all of his children to death. He lost all of his possessions, all of his livestock. And when he had nothing left but his wife, he was still able to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." And that's not easy. We don't always understand why the things are happening. But we can thank God that he's in control of what is happening. And that's a blessed lesson we learned from the life of Job, is that God puts a hedge around his people. He protects them. And he only allows certain things into our lives to stretch us, to strengthen us. And then the second attitude that we are to have towards difficulty is in James chapter 1. Verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." That verse also tells us that difficulties will come. It says, when you fall. It doesn't say if you fall. But when you fall into difficulties, this is with the count it all joy. And before I've mentioned that, there's a difference between happiness and joy. In the world, it says, you know, seek after happiness. Do what makes you happy. But happiness is dependent upon what happens. If good things are happening, then we're happy. But if bad things are happening, then we're sorrowful. We're not happy. Joy is not affected by circumstances. We looked at that when we were looking at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Joy is a deep-rooted trust in the goodness and the mercy of God. No matter what happens, our lives are in his hands. And we are safe and secure. He provides salvation and grace. And it says here that we are to count it all joy, complete joy. And again, that is not easy. But for the believer who has a strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the midst of very trying circumstances, we can demonstrate the attitude of joy. I've been joyful in the Lord and sad at the same time, in the sense of my dad doesn't know Jesus Christ. And when I asked to share and to pray with him, he says, no. He doesn't want it. But he's afraid. And so I really appreciate your deep times in prayer. And not just for my dad, but for, we have so many family members from the Assembly family that are not saved. And there's no hope. Adam and Eve had no hope. They thought all was lost. For the first time, they were afraid and they were hiding from God. And he still sought them out, just as he's seeking people out today to come to him by faith. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." That is what helps us get through the difficulties of life. And that's why it's so important that we maintain those attitudes of thankfulness and joyfulness. We cannot escape criticism or frustration, disappointments, physical or emotional pain, sickness or disease or injury or even death, unless the Lord comes. These are part of life. These are difficulties we face. And I thank God that I don't have to go through those times alone. He is always with me. And if you notice in those two verses I read about being thankful and about being joyful, they were commands. It was not an option. It was a commandment from the Lord. And if God commands us to do something, He will give us the ability to do it. And so many times I share with my kids, and I've mentioned it even from up here, in Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gives us the grace, the ability to handle whatever comes into our lives, because it first passes through His loving hands. He knows what we can handle, and He limits it. From the humanistic perspective, they like to say, I can do it. The focus is on human strength and effort. But we focus on the fact that we can do it through Christ, who strengthens us and gives us the ability to endure it. The greatest part of joy is drawing closer to the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And as we go through difficulties, we become more aware of His presence, of His goodness and His love and mercy towards us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 8, Paul is going through a difficult trial in his life. He feels that it's hindering him in his relationship with the Lord. And three times, look at verse 8, he says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, or Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is perfected in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see Paul's focus? His relationship with Jesus Christ is getting deeper and sweeter. And he's saying, I take pleasure in infirmities, sickness, weaknesses, in reproaches, in needs for in persecution and distresses. All these difficulties that Paul went through. He said, I take pleasure in those things because it brought him to the point where he says, I can't do it, but Christ can through me. And so it deepens our relationship with the Lord when we go through difficulties. And so God's grace is applied at the time we need it. When I was in Zambia, this passage was so precious to me. And it still is. There's times I get frustrated and I feel I'm limited in what I can do for the Lord. But His grace is sufficient in time of need. It's always sufficient. It's all sufficient. Jesus demonstrated this in Hebrews chapter 12. A very familiar, very precious portion in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see the attitude of the Lord Jesus? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That is why the breaking of bread meeting is such a precious time. We can ponder and quietly meditate on what Jesus Christ endured on the cross for our sin. And it wasn't just the pain of the mockings. It's not just the pain of being rejected by the religious leaders, or the crown of thorns, or the nails, or the whipping on his back, or the spear that was thrust into his side. Even our sin was put on him. All the consequences of our sin was placed on the Lord Jesus. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And he did it with joy, even in the midst of the pain and suffering. We see that in Luke chapter 9. We're not going to be looking at the cross. But in Luke chapter 9, he talks to his disciples to prepare them for what was to come. In Luke chapter 9, when the disciples were ready to hear, Jesus told them what was going to happen to him. In verse 22, Jesus saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." So Jesus Christ told his disciples ahead of time what was going to happen. Verse 23, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.'" So Jesus told the disciples, difficulties will come. And it doesn't matter if you follow Christ or not. There are some people who've told me that they're concerned about the cost of surrendering their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they realize it's going to cost them something. And it's so hard before they take that step of faith to understand. Because I said the same thing before I came to know Christ. People are going to laugh at me. People will mock me. I have to stop doing some things that I enjoy doing. But when you come face to face with eternity, and that's why my dad is really struggling right now. And he doesn't understand that all that lack of peace that he's experiencing could be solved by just one act. By just going before the Lord Jesus and saying, "I have sinned against you. I accept you as my Savior." Whoever confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus shall be saved. It's very simple. To experience the wonderful peace. The peace that Scripture tells us passes human understanding. They can't understand how we can go through the things we do. Last September, when my brother passed away, I found out in the morning, and I went to work that day because I felt it was my responsibility to get things prepared. And everybody at work was saying, "How can you do what you're doing? How can you still be peaceful?" And a very simple answer is because of Jesus Christ. He gives us the grace to endure and to go through the things of life. That's why I can't understand why people hesitate or delay coming to Jesus Christ. They're giving up something that's temporary for something that lasts forever. There's no comparison in the wonderful gift of salvation that is freely given to all who come to the Lord Jesus. And in Romans chapter 8, another precious scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul really got that point across. He really understood what the Lord was saying. He says in verse 18, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who was subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies, when we receive a new glorified body. So Paul stated that the sufferings, the difficulties that I go through, is not even worthy to be compared to that future glory when we will be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. So we don't look to the present. And we don't look to the past. We look to the future. We look to the Savior who would give us joy even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of difficulties. Difficulties themselves are neutral. It's not a negative thing, it's not a positive thing, it's neutral. But how we respond to the trials, to the difficulties, that is either positive or negative. The difficulties of life can either make a person bitter or it can make them better. It all depends on their focus. We will either pass or fail the test based on our focus. So difficulties in itself is not a bad thing. We have to expect difficulties. But how we respond to those difficulties affects our lives deeply. And that's why it's so important for us to learn to be thankful and joyful, even in the midst of these difficulties. In James chapter 1, when we read in verse 2, it tells us that we will fall into various trials or difficulties. That word fall means unexpectedly. Sometimes we don't expect it, it just happens. And we have a difficulty that we have to go through. That same Greek word was used in Luke when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, where he fell among thieves. Didn't expect that to happen, but it did. And so it's very important on our focus. In God's Word, I have found 10 reasons why we can consider it a joy when we go through difficult times. And of course, we don't have time to do that this morning. But in the next few times that we are together, I hope to go through those 10 things to help us to have reasons to motivate us to want to count it a joy. Not that we need them, but they do help. But there are some things that we need to realize, need to understand, is that all the evil that happens in the world today is not by God. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, God is not tempted with evil, neither does he tempt anyone. People make choices, and there are consequences to those choices they make. Adam and Eve, when they took of that forbidden fruit, they thought it was going to help them to be wise, to know good and evil. And they realized that it was very destructive to their lives. And that's why it's so important, and I can't stress this enough, is that we focus on what God's Word teaches us. Because all the worldly philosophies and ideas are contrary to God's Word. They want to make laws to make sin legal, so people will feel good about doing them. But sin separates a person from God. God, as our Creator, knows what makes us tick, what's good for us and what's harmful. And we need to trust Him and commit it all to Him and seek to obey His word, because God has promised to bless those who obey Him. And you know, it's so easy for a person to say, I love Jesus. But Jesus told us in John that he who keeps my commandments, he it is who loves me. True love is obedience. That's how we prove our love to the Lord. We seek to obey His word. We seek to live by it. But in John chapter 10, there's a very precious promise. Again, very familiar. Many of these verses are familiar. But we need to be reminded of these truths. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do you see that security? We are safe and secure in the loving hands of the Lord Jesus. Nothing can come into our lives unless He permits it. And He permits it for the purpose of strengthening and developing us in our lives. For causing our faith in Him to be even deeper and our relationship with Him to be even sweeter. How precious it is to be able to talk to Him anytime, day or night. And to know that He's there. He's always there for us. And what a comfort that is. So basically, this is just an introduction to the reasons that we can count it a joy or a blessing if we're going through difficulties. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to pause and thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for the comfort of the Scriptures as they give us hope. We thank You for the wonderful promises that You have always and will always keep. That we can rest upon Your promises, knowing that Your grace will always be sufficient and the time of need, no matter how difficult things may seem to be. And we thank You, Father, for that wonderful and blessed hope that we have, that one day we will be with the Lord Jesus in glory. No more pain, no more suffering, no more criticism, no more death. But we will have a blessed, perfect existence because He is perfect. And so we thank You for these wonderful promises. And Father, we thank You for the importance that You've demonstrated in Your word of having thankfulness and joy, even in the midst of difficulties. Help us to remember those truths. And help us to focus not on the difficulties at hand, but focus on Your promises and on the Lord Jesus Christ. His grace is sufficient in time of need. So we thank You, Father, for what You've done and for what You will continue to do because You are faithful. And we pray that Your Holy Spirit will be comforting and strengthening and meeting needs in the lives of each one as they need it. Of course, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just close with number 520. Thank you.
Jesus.